Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. And before we start today's show, I want to ask for a favor. If you can go to npr.org/podcast survey, there you're going to find a survey where you can tell us how often you're listening to The Indicator, what you like about it, and just in general, how you are using podcasts. It's short, it's anonymous, it really does help the show. And I'm not even asking for money. It's free. It's a free way to help the show, and we'd really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And now, on with today's show.
NPR.
Hey everyone, Cardiff and Stacey here. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. Valerie Steele is an historian of fashion in New York. She's also the director of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology. We called Valerie to ask her about masks. The masks that people have been increasingly wearing since the start of the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, it's interesting because the idea of masks as personal protective technology, like medical masks, surgical masks, or N95 masks, that's something that goes back to the end of the 19th century, where in Europe, surgeons realized that they could help prevent germs and bacteria from their mouth entering into people's wounds while they were operating.
As the coronavirus pandemic tragically lingers on, a lot of people in the U.S. are going to continue to wear masks out in public. And in some states and cities, masks are now either mandatory or at least strongly encouraged when people are out. And we wanted to speak with Valerie because we've been curious about something. As time does go on, will more people start thinking of masks as just part of what they wear every day, a part of their outfit?
Yeah, and if that happens, we'll all start probably looking for masks that match our individual styles. You know, and that, of course, could make a real business opportunity for companies and entrepreneurs in the world of fashion and design who can make masks that we'll all want to wear.
Valerie says that has happened before in other parts of the world when they had to deal with earlier outbreaks of contagious diseases.
Fast forward to the late 20th century. In East Asia, over the past 15 years or so, with a variety of pandemics like SARS and MERS, people in Hong Kong, China, and Japan started increasingly to wear masks to protect themselves, but also to protect the people around them and to show sort of civic responsibility. And not only was mask wearing ubiquitous, this is a part of the world where people are very interested in fashion. And so quite quickly, you also saw fashion masks being worn.
Now, it's early in the trend, but Valerie does suspect that something like this is also happening now in the U.S., in Europe, as a response to coronavirus. And a bunch of fashion designers and other companies have already pivoted to selling more masks with differing styles and designs. There's even a maskclub.com, which will send you a new mask each month for $9.99.
No, that's...
Yep.
No. The monthly thing's out of control.
It exists.
Mask Club.
But there is more to this story than just business and fashion. Right now, for example, wearing a mask has become part of a culture war here in the U.S.
Yes, in some parts of the country, people are protesting against being ordered to wear a mask. They don't want to be ordered by the government to do something. The protesters say they are trying to protect their personal freedom.
Yeah, and the advocates of wearing masks are saying that it's about science. They point to evidence showing that if you wear a mask, there is less of a chance that you'll infect other people if you have coronavirus. And so they can say it's about their personal freedom, too, the freedom to move through public spaces without getting infected.
Yeah, Valerie says for her, wearing a mask can send a message of solidarity.
And I think that this idea of fashionizing masks is a good way to normalize them and to say that this is, you don't need to be scared, you just need to be part of this. We're all in it together.
Now, traditionally, in non-pandemic times, masks have been thought of as symbols of defiance or rebellion or even secrecy or danger. Bank robbers wear them in movies, so do outlaws, rebels, cowboys. Within fashion, that's always given masks a certain cachet, a cool cachet, Valerie says.
It's a plus to be scary and dangerous looking in fashion.
Oh, really?
There's a tremendous cachet with the kind of charisma of evil.
Though, of course, in the non-fashion, non-Hollywood world, masks could also be perceived as threatening. But now, during the pandemic, wearing a mask often just means that you're following the rules. The intent is to be safe and communicate that solidarity, but that is still a different psychological association with masks than the one people had before the pandemic.
And this is where fashion might be able to play a role by bridging those two associations. When designers personalize a mask and offer more variety, they can preserve some of what makes wearing them appealing, making them cool and stylish and even fun. So, you know, if you like masks that look dystopian or mysterious or edgy, you could have that option. The point is that if making masks fashionable also convinces more people to wear them, then the act of wearing a mask itself might seem less threatening. It might just be normal or maybe even fun. Exciting. After the break, we will speak to a fashion designer who saw her business dry up almost entirely until she pivoted to making masks.
Hi, I'm Greg Rosalski, and I write the Planet Money newsletter. In recent weeks, we've talked with a Nobel laureate about the best way to fight COVID-19, and we've got the story of the economist behind the idea of sending checks to everyone. Check it out and subscribe at npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.
Chelsea Klukas is the founder of Lumen Couture. It is a one-woman shop, just her, and she makes wearables, which are fashion items that embed electronics and technology into stuff you can wear. She designs like fancy red carpet-type gowns that shimmer and sparkle when you're walking for, you know, very high-end events and ceremonies.
Yeah, among other products. But since the start of the pandemic, the kinds of events where people would wear these clothes have been canceled, so fewer people want those gowns. So Chelsea has shifted most of her business to making masks, which people do want now. She's designed a black mask that has a screen across the front, almost like a scoreboard, saying things like 6 feet away.
And the cool thing about the tech that I've been working with is that it's really, really thin. So it's about as thick as a sheet of paper and just as flexible. So this is a really thin little piece of electronics that can be programmed to show text.
Chelsea has a relationship with manufacturers in China, and they make the masks and the electronics. And then she assembles them herself before mailing them out to customers. So far, she has sold about 500 masks. And in fact, right now, about 75% of Lumen Couture's sales are masks. She went from 0% to 75% within just the last couple of months. And Chelsea said she had no idea they would become so popular when she first started making them by hand.
It was like a Sunday morning, I started sewing, and then I record a little how-to video and I put it up on YouTube. And it really, really resonated.
The masks, which Chelsea sells online, each cost $95. So they are a bit pricey as masks go. Though remember that her masks also include that added electronics component. Chelsea does say that at first, she was a bit uncomfortable making money off masks during a pandemic. So she does give a big share of what she sells to a COVID relief charity. Plus, her to-do videos are still online if people want to have a go at making their own masks and not spend the money.
And obviously, Chelsea does need to make a profit from selling the masks. This is her business. And just like everybody else who works for a salary, Chelsea needs to get paid for the time she spends making masks. Also, there is a business lesson here. Demand for her other products has completely collapsed. So Chelsea has shifted her supply to make masks, and those are in demand.
We've seen other companies do this as well. Certainly there's other apparel brands who have very quickly pivoted to selling masks, and even non-apparel who have sort of pivoted their business models to things that are needed is something that is very important for every company, as well as just kind of fulfilling the demand of things that people want.
That Chelsea does not know, nobody knows, whether masks will remain in such high demand for a while or whether this is temporary. But if it's not temporary, she says,
that'll really change how we think about fashion and accessorizing, and even how we think about makeup, like, you know, rest in peace, the bold lip, because everyone will be wearing masks and, you know, we'll have to emphasize our eyes. So I think this could be something that sticks. And it's interesting to think about how that's changed fashion and accessorizing, which, you know, really for a long time, there hasn't been an introduction of a new accessory to this type of scale.
No more bold lip for you, Cardiff.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's about time I started.
And I have to switch over to the
emphasizing
eyes.
Eyes. Yeah, exactly.
It's all about smizing, Cardiff. I'll talk to you about that after the
okay.
show.
But I think the lesson of what Chelsea's doing is that for a lot of us, masks are probably going to remain an item that we need, at least in the short term. And so what she and other fashion designers and manufacturers are doing is to try to ensure that we can also end up getting them in a style that we want.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.